What's going on, good people? Welcome back to the 1 in 100 podcast. We are your hosts, the Chibata Boys. I'm the Magic Man. And as always, I got my brother from another with me. What up, K?
Bro, I am giving you a sensei bow. You know what I'm saying? I am excited to be here. I'm excited to be here this week, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just informed me that I got the week off next week.
So. Yeah. You're off next week. JT's up on deck. You know what I'm saying? So,
oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's JT, man. I hope he's well, man. I haven't spoke to him in a minute.
Yeah, he's doing good. I talked to him this morning, man. We were talking comics this morning, actually, when I was first getting to work. So, but I'll tell you this, man. Real talk. I'm happy to be recording, man. I needed this, man, because hopefully by the time this episode comes out, things will, you know, a big change will be in the Wanzer family's life. You know what I'm saying? That's my last name for those that don't know. But you know, the black podcaster and the Dominican wife of the black podcaster, you know, will have a big change for our family. Hopefully by Monday when this comes out. So when that happens, and I'll definitely, you guys will know for sure. But yeah, I needed this, man. It's been stressful, bro. I was just like, man, I just want to get my brain off of this stuff and just, you know.
Yeah, talk to my bro. I second you, man. Bro, you know me, man. We talk all the time, man. So you know what it is, man. So
I look
forward to this because it gives me a chance to think about something totally different.
Facts. Like it's like this, you know, adulting and just, you know, this parent life, husband life. Like, listen, I just need a break. Let's talk about some comics, some movies, some stuff like that. You know what
I'm saying? Before we go on, I just got to shout out my wife, man. She's a warrior. Oh, yeah. And she's an incredible woman, and I love her to death. And I just have to say that publicly. And she's incredible, man. Love that woman.
We all love you, Chrissy. We all love you, for sure. You know what I'm saying? I love you too, Samir. I'm just going to jump on the bandwagon on the love right now.
Yeah.
It's the love
out. Like, man. It's like, this is the ladies, man.
Yeah. Great movie. Great movie.
I love that. Yo, That movie is one of my favorites, bro.
Yeah,
sure, I haven't seen that one in a while. I got to throw that one.
Right. Yeah, I need to watch that. That'll be a good one. I'm going to try and find it. It's probably on like Tubi or some shit like that.
Yeah, that movie is amazing, bro. Oh,
word. But listen, man, let's jump into it, man. We got some news, some interesting news coming out of Sony. You know, they are like the home of all things Spider-Man with all the characters and things like that. We talked about this a few months ago that the movie El Muerto, is that how you say it? El Muerto?
El Muerto.
Yeah, there you go. That was nice. That was good.
Thank you.
They had took
brushing
that off,
up, yeah.
Facts. They took it off the schedule a few months ago. Like, we didn't know what was going to be happening with that. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're not hearing anything else from it. So now we have an update for that movie. And honestly, I don't even know this character from the Spider-Man universe. I'll be honest with you. But Bad Bunny, it was supposed to be starring in this movie. And he's like a wrestler, you know, he's a luchador type of character. And now he's out. He's out of the movie. And he was doing an interview with Vanity Fair. And I guess they asked him about it, even though his publicist, you know, didn't want him to take any questions about this, but they asked him about it and he was kind of hesitant to answer. And he was just like, I don't know what to say. And he also said that it was a delicate situation. And then his publicist kind of stepped in and just gave a quick, you know, answer and was like, obviously it's out. That's what he said. It's out. So it sounds like he's done with the movie. And the word on the street right now is that it was kind of like just the scheduling. It was just conflict of schedules. And he was going to be,
which I figured he's the fucking biggest artist on the planet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They're not going to take, you're going to take the guy out of the studio and off the video sets, you know, to have him jumping around and, you know, possibly injuring himself. And, you know what I'm saying? Then, you know, he has to exercise and the whole nine, you know,
like it's a dedication, you know,
Marvel
man.
Movies. Yeah. It's a different dedication. And I'm sure right now, what he's got going on is a little more important.
Right. Yeah. Like that's not the most, it's a bag, but it's not the most important bag probably for him and his team.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And his brand. 100%.
But it would still be dope.
I'm sure he probably got offered that at an earlier time before, you know, he really started to really take off. I'm sure he got offered that and, you know, he probably agreed to it and thought everything sounded amazing at first. And then shit happened in his own life that he was like, oh, now, you know, I got other things to do. I can't do that. So,
I mean, if we keep it real, most of the time when we hear about movies, they've been in like process of getting things together for like a few years already. You know what I'm saying? By the time 100%. We hear, it's already been worked on for like 3 or 4 years.
Absolutely.
And deals have been made.
Too.
Yeah.
Because they even announced that he was going to be in it. You know what I'm saying? They did announce that. That was a thing. So I feel like there was some point in time where he was agreed to do it, but then probably had to really back out and probably have to give some money back.
Right. So let me ask you this, man. First off, do you think Sony is still going to do the movie, you know, despite losing, bad money?
I mean, bro, you lose the biggest artist on the planet. I mean, you're not going to really, you know, obviously if Bad Bunny being in that movie was going to catapult that movie to new heights. You know what I mean? That character was going to become the biggest character on the fucking planet as soon as they put Bad Bunny behind them.
Right. Even if he's not like, you know, like the greatest actor in the world, but his name is crazy. Yeah. Like he's got a crazy name. So it's like, I mean, we'll see if they keep making it. Cause it's like now, once you remove Bad Bunny from the movie, right? Like you said, nobody really knows this character. You know what I'm saying? Like nobody really knows this character. So it's like, what's the
drama? You look up, that's what I'm trying to figure out too, because you look up the character. The character didn't have a solo book.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? Did not have his own solo title. And I don't think he's in more than a handful of issues. So
I don't understand.
Like I said, bro, this is what they did, man. They found a character that was Puerto Rican. You know what I'm saying? Or some type of Hispanic, because I don't even know if that character is Puerto Rican or not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they found, you know, the biggest artist in the planet, and they were like, okay, we can't make him Miles Morales. They didn't want to do White Tiger with him, because I'm sure they're probably planning on doing something with the female White Tiger.
Right.
So then they found another character that they could just blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And hence this character.
Right. Yeah.
So I hope that drops that price of that book, because I still kind of want to read it.
It went up crazy.
You know how it is, man. When they announce any of these characters, they could be on toilet paper and people are going to pay for it. You know what I mean? Like, come on. You know what I'm saying? They're going to raise the price up. Yeah, they're going to raise the price up. The book could be a complete piece of shit, and they're still going to be like, oh, 300. Just because he's going to be in a movie.
Facts.
Bad Bunny. And then that's how they advertise Bad Bunny character.
Facts. Right on. You know what I mean? That's a fact. That's a fact. So before we change to the next topic, I just wanted to think, I was thinking about this when you was talking. So if they do make this movie, now you remove one of the biggest names like on the planet in the music industry.
Absolutely.
This was an automatic like draw for a lot of people to just go see the movie, despite not knowing who the hell the character is. Mm-hmm. If they do it, does this now put this movie in like flop territory? You know what I'm saying? Because Sony hasn't really done anything good outside of Across the Spider-Verse, you know, with Miles and stuff, and the Tom Holland Spider-Man thing. I mean, you could say Venom, the first one, was pretty good for them as far as money goes, but I mean, we got Craven coming that doesn't look too, you know, like people are going to go see it. I heard they're doing a Madam Web movie. Like, they're doing a lot of stuff that's just weird. So
Yeah, I mean, bro, this is what I'm trying to say. Like, they, I think, I feel like they're trying to bank in on the whole superhero thing.
Yeah.
But I think they're a little too late.
Yeah, okay.
They're trying to, I feel like they're trying to open the floodgates on, you know, on Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery. And, you know, I see what they're trying to do, but it's just not really, I don't think it's working yet. And I don't think it's going to work when you have Kraven not being true to the character.
Right. And you're not, you like know, building, it don't seem like they're building it up for him to be going at Spider-Man at any point. Same with Venom. So it's just, yeah.
So they keep, that's the thing. They're keeping the, you know, they're keeping Venom's main foe and Kraven's main foe. They're keeping them away from Spider-Man. And I feel like, why not go with the Spider-Man idea? Yeah. Why not put more stuff, give Spider-Man more stuff to do? But right. at the same time, you know, also Tom Holland has kind of expressed that he doesn't want to do this character forever.
Yeah, so. Yeah, he's got probably a couple more left in him before they trans, you know, maybe go to Miles. You know, maybe transition to Miles or just a whole new Peter Parker. Who knows? But I feel like this is probably going to go to flop territory if they actually go through with the movie. Because, I mean, it's still not on the schedule.
I mean, bro, because that's the thing. Once they took it off the schedule, they're like, yeah, this isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Because you can tell. They don't. When do they take movies off the schedule?
Not, like, especially if they're not like just reshuffling and wanting to put a new date. Like, they ain't even say that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they didn't even reach out for a new date. They didn't have a new date.
Right.
So then what? So now they, you know, and then Blue Beetle not doing good is, you know, that kind of hurts the. Right.
And then the strike.
The idea of a Latino character. Yeah.
And the strike doesn't help either, though, as well. Cause, I mean, like with like Daredevil and, I mean, even though Riri Williams' joint was done, we talked about that last week, but it's like, it's crazy times right now, but we'll see how it goes. But going forward, we got some Loki 2 news, man. And honestly, me and you, neither one of us were fans of the first season of Loki. And the biggest part for me was, you know, the introduction of Jonathan Majors as Kang the Conqueror, or one of the variants that he was in the end of Loki. That was probably the only episode that I watched from beginning to end. It was just to see how they're going to bring this character in. And Jonathan Majors is also going to be in season 2 of Loki. And, you know, despite all the issues that have been surrounding him, it looks like he's going to be involved in this season kind of heavy. Now, when I say kind of heavy, you know, it's only 6 episodes for this season 2. So he's going to be, they're saying he's going to be in about half of the episodes, which is, you know, pretty big deal. He's going to be in about 3 episodes, maybe more, who knows. But right now, the word on the street, he's going to be in 3 episodes. He's going to be another Kang variant. So we saw him at the end of, was it Ant-Man? They did the post-credit scene where he kind of looked like Frederick Douglass a little bit with the hair. And the character he's going to be playing mostly is a character called Victor Timely, which is another, you know, another variant. So yeah, he's going to be in about 3 episodes. So, I mean, I don't know, man. Honestly, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tune in to see what they're up to, you know, when I can. It's not something that I'm super excited for. But from what we know, like, you know, from the past, with all the stuff that's been going on with Jonathan Majors, you know, Disney kept really, really quiet about this whole situation. Now that we see that he's going to probably be in about 3 episodes, do you think that was like a good idea to kind of like stay quiet about everything and then just let it go and just see what the response is when they see him, you know, when everybody sees him on TV?
Man, I mean, this is a kind of a tough one. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a thing of, man, it was already done. They already had this ready to go. And then,
yeah,
you know, this happened, you know, this,
yeah,
the whatever they want to call it happened.
Yeah.
You know, the incident that happened, you know, that, you know what I'm saying, that kind of is hindering his career here just right. a little bit. But yeah, so maybe that's why there's only 3 episodes. They were probably planning right. on doing more. And, yeah, you know, he kind of got caught up. So
yeah, or maybe they edited some of it out, because I think it was kind of done already before like all that stuff happened. Or maybe he just wasn't in a lot of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could have just not been in a lot of it to begin with.
That too.
Because he
remember,
is,
he's playing, he is playing a time variant. So right. it's not like he's technically playing King the Conqueror.
Right. And this, and I mean, we all know like Marvel was kind of like trying to do a lot around this King the Conqueror character. So.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to overuse them, you know what I'm saying, in a Disney Plus show if they're going to be using them a whole lot throughout all these other Disney movies and all these other things going on that's going to involve him. So, I mean, I kind of like the fact that they kind of just said nothing. And, I mean, even he hasn't really said anything. Like, he hasn't – he's just chilling with Megan Good. Like, he's like, I don't got nothing to say. Like, you know, let this shit play out. I think his next court date is sometime this month. And then the Loki season starts, I think, October, I believe. So, you know, and also the other question I was thinking about is like, do you think that, you know, him being in half of the season right now, from what we know, do you think this is going to affect the ratings of the show? You know, the viewership of the show. I mean, I don't know if anybody like hates Jonathan Majors. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
like,
I haven't, you know, I don't really read like Facebook groups or anything like that. So yeah. I don't know what the consensus is on Jonathan Majors right now. I really don't. Like, I haven't really
I'm
seen
with you.
People
I'm
bashing
with you.
Him. Like, I haven't seen anybody bashing him or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been kind of like,
it's just been real. It's been real quiet on him right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to court. Past, and that's it.
Yeah, like even with the past court date that he had, I know that was like sometime in August.
I mean, he just went in and came out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and not really many people really reported on it. I mean, it was the time when all this stuff popped off, where social media went crazy and was. You know, oh, I knew it and all that stuff that they were doing. And, oh, he's innocent. Mm-hmm. You know, like, just, you know, the back and forth that, you know, everybody does in the comments. And, you know, we talked about it on here only because I am a fan of what the work that he does. Like, I've liked a lot of the things that I've seen him in. And Creed was one of them, you know. And, you know, I was kind of like interested in seeing like how the hell this was going to play out, because he was making moves, you know what I'm saying? And now all that's come to a kind of a halt. But I mean, he has a show coming out. So, I mean, like you, bro, I don't know what the consensus is with Jonathan Majors and the rest of the public right now. But I mean, it could go either way. You know, people might see him and be like, oh, hell no. Or people might see him and be like, oh, hell yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, who knows? You know, because he's just that good of an actor. So I hope it doesn't affect the viewership, because if it does, with all the things being changed right now and, you know, all the strikes, like, if it doesn't perform well, I hope it doesn't mean that they're going to, you know, get rid of him as far as being Kang the Conqueror. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen. But if people don't want to see him and the viewership is low, then I mean, hey, it's business. You know what I'm saying? It's show business. I heard this one time. It's show business, not show friends. So,
yeah.
So the next topic, man, that we got here on the quick hits, Aquaman, and the Lost Kingdom. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. This is Aquaman 2. They showed this like quick teaser last Sunday night during the Giants game, which was just horrible. It was a bad time in Meadowlands that night, like really bad. Really bad. They put up a egg, and then they did put this teaser out for Aquaman. It didn't really show much. It was super quick. They just showed a few characters and showed Jason Momoa, you know, in his Aquaman suit. But now we have a trailer, and it's like what, almost over 2 minutes long. It's actually a long trailer.
2 minutes and 46 seconds.
Yeah.
They clocked in at.
Yeah. And they
2 minutes and 46 seconds of garbage.
Yeah. yeah. So, I mean, How do you feel about it? Let's just go into it, man.
What did you see
that you was kind of like cool, and what did you see that was kind of like, all right, this gotta go? Words of K, whoop dee dee doo.
Whoop dee dee doo. I like Black Manta. Black Manta is sick.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yaya Abdul Mateen.
Yeah. I like that. I like him as an actor. He's cool.
Yeah, he's pretty
solid. He plays for a good bad guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Makes for a good bad guy. But now, just that whole everything else with Aquaman just look corny. It's just First of all, I didn't even know that this was a thing. I didn't even know that this was coming. I totally forgot about this, actually.
Yeah, because I think it got pushed, bro. I think it was supposed to come out a lot earlier than this. Because it's coming out December 20th or something like that. But I think it was supposed to come out a little bit way before this, and they pushed it back. And it's been quiet. But also, it's a DC, you know, a DCEU movie. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things haven't been going very well for the DCEU. So a lot of people probably just don't even care and just put it out their mind a long time ago. But yeah, that was the only thing that I saw that I was intrigued by was the Black Manta, you know, looking like a beast now, because they didn't really use him in the last movie that well, you know. And mm-hmm. I'm interested in seeing these quote unquote two kings kind of go at it. I'm trying to look at the trailer real quick. I think at the end it tells you some books to read. And I believe one of them, they got the New 52 one. They got a story called War of the Thrones, which I might actually look into. But I did read this new, it was a Rebirth. I read, mm-hmm. like, I want to say the guy that was writing, his name is Dan Abnett. I think that's how you say his name. And he did about maybe 35 issues on Aquaman, and it was actually dope, yo. Like, I'm not even in front, because I was still a newbie in the comic book world, and I just went and checked it out, and I was like, damn, this is actually really good. It was like a Game of Thrones vibe. Like, it was like the how this whole like War of the Kingdoms type of thing was going on, or that's going on in this trailer. But you know, Chuck Brown wrote a Black Manta story.
I remember that
last year or a year and a half ago or so, and that was like a 6-issue mini. That was fire. If you really like, you know, dig Black Manta, that's a good one to read. But as far as the movie goes, man, the water looks like basic still. It looks like how it was in 2018. No real improvements. I mean, I didn't even see Little Mermaid, and from the trailers I saw a Little Mermaid when that was dropping. The water, underwater stuff was way better than that. So mm-hmm. didn't really make no improvements there. Jason Momoa, he's just real corny to me. I'm not gonna lie. But this is one thing I can say. I'll give some facts real quick. The first movie, when it came out, it made $1.150 billion. All right. It had mixed reviews, and mm-hmm. it has been the highest grossing DCEU film. Not DCU, because that's what they are now, but this is the highest grossing DCEU film. So think about that. We've had Justice League, we've had Batman versus Superman, we had Wonder Woman, the first Wonder Woman. We've had Suicide Squad movies, we've had now The Flash, Blue Beetle, and little old Fish Boy was the one that broke the $1 billion club. None of them other ones did. We had Superman, you know, Return of Superman, whatever. Like, those things didn't crack the 1 billion mark, and this movie did. So, based on what you saw in this trailer, are they going to get anywhere near $1 billion?
Not $1 billion. Come on.
I had to ask you, bro. I was trying not to laugh through that question, but I had to put it on the table, man. They not getting nowhere near it. And I, like, right now, it just seems like the DCEU is just flop material, bro. Like, unfortunately, like, people are just not interested. Even though, like, you saw Blue Beetle, I didn't get a chance to see it, people. I know I promised I was going to see it, but I had car trouble last weekend. But everybody that I've talked to that has seen this movie really enjoyed it. Like, really enjoyed it. And nobody went to go see it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't think DCEU, I mean, well, I don't think DC, period, is going to be making any money anytime soon, bro. Like, I don't think they're going to make no money anytime soon, bro. Like, even with the Jason, with the James Gunn stuff, like, it seems like it's going to be flopping stuff for a long time, bro.
Yeah. Nah, man. So it's Superman's going to write the, is going to write the shit.
You think so?
I think so.
I hope it, I mean, so. But you know what? It could, especially if the writer strike stays on much longer. You know what I'm saying? After this Aquaman shit, maybe they can take a break for a while because of the strike. And maybe it'll erase the bad taste out of people's mouth for a while. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, it's looking like we're going to get another $1 billion.
They ain't getting no $1 billion. Get out of here.
You think it'll make more than Black Adam at least?
I mean, what's Black Adam make?
I want to say Black Adam might have got like maybe like 200, 300 mil maybe. I'll look it up now, but I don't think they even got over. I don't think they got nowhere near five. Nowhere near five.
Yeah.
Let me see. How much did Black Adam? $393 million.
What was it? One more time?
$393 million.
I mean, that's possible. I mean, that sounds like...
more realistic.
You know what I'm saying? More realistic. More realistic ballpark.
Yeah. Hold on, let me see. Blue Beetle. Damn. All right, it could definitely make over more than 104.
Blue Beetle only made 104.
Yeah. Oh no. That's how much it cost to make it. It cost 104 to make. How much did Blue Beetle gross? God dog. 110.
110.
Mm-hmm. It said it made $85 million. Now eyes 110 million on his final box office, like, you know, stint.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, man,
crazy.
It's not looking good for DC, y'all.
Man.
Hopefully, I mean, you listen, man. I hope James Gunn can save it, bro.
Listen, man, they put up a good fight, man. You know, now they're gonna let. This guy, you know, write the shit, man.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen. I think, like, remember, they said it. These were the last things that they were getting. So,
yeah.
That we would be getting.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Maybe
people just aren't turning up because they're like, man, F it, yo. We just going to wait for James Gunn.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I think it is. I just think everybody's just waiting for James Gunn.
Yeah.
I would too.
Yeah. I am kind of. Yeah. I mean, oh, I did want to see Blue Beetle. Hopefully, I get a chance. Maybe tomorrow. Today's Thursday. People, we're recording on Thursday, just so you know. So tomorrow probably won't happen tomorrow, but we'll see.
Uh-huh.
But listen, man, let's take a quick break, man, and gather our thoughts real quick for a real quick reads of the week, and then we have the breakdown coming up after that. And the question for the breakdown. What do me and Kay plan on doing with our collection once we retire from collecting comic books and, you know, we're old and gray and we just have no use for them anymore? What are we planning on doing, man? So come back after this quick break. Go get yourself a snack, yourself something to drink, and we'll be back with Reads of the Week and the Breakdown. Thank you. And we are back. You are listening to the 1 in 100 podcast right here on the 100 Network. We're the Ciabatta Boys. And this is Reads of the Week, man. If you're new to the pod, you know, welcome. You know what I'm saying? Like Bernie Mac said, welcome. God damn it, welcome. And if you're not, you already know what Reads of the Week is. But Reads of the Week is basically when we talk about some of the books that we checked out, man. It could be old, new. It could be trade paperbacks, graphic novels, whatever. And we just kind of talk about it because we think it's a dope read and you guys should know about it. So I talked about this last week. I went to GalaxyCon and I got a chance to meet Jason Sean Alexander. He gave me a free copy of Empty Zone, which is now being published on Image, but it started out as a GoFundMe type of book or whatever that he did. He did the art. He's also the writer on here, and he's working with a guy named Luis NCT, and they're actually the art team for Killadelphia. So it's really cool that they work together on this book. But Empty Zone, so far I've only read one issue and I really enjoyed it. But so far what I know is that this is 80 years after a worldwide blackout. So the world has completely changed. It's very dark. It's very grim. It's a lot of shady shit going on. And, it's just completely effed up, man. And we're following a young lady named Corinne White. And she is like this black market spy, she might be selling drugs too, man. I ain't gonna lie. But she kind of has she has a manic depressive person as well. So she's got a lot of things going on with her. And I read a little bit of issue two, like the first couple of pages. And I believe she's also she was a former soldier as well. So she's a very interesting character, but it's just a very dark book right now. But also what I'm seeing in this is that at the end of issue one, you kind of get a glimpse of this lab, and this guy is working on all of these dead bodies, and it seems like he's bringing them back to life. So I don't know what her connection is with all of that just yet, but I know that it was very intriguing. And I like it. I like there's a couple of characters in here. Don't remember their names. There's one black dude in here. He's mad cool. This is a futuristic story, and he's still riding around in this Cadillac, this real clean Cadillac type car, smoking cigarettes. He just looks like he's straight from the 80s, but really dope book. I'm definitely gonna keep on, reading this. It's a really cool story. Then breaking news right here, man. Breaking news. OG Rich. From Black Comic Lords, go look him up on YouTube. I think he's on a show this Sunday, actually, this is coming out Monday. So he's doing a show yesterday. But he had read this book, man. And he said it wasn't too bad. And it was his first, crack at reading a manga. So as you guys know, I am not a manga reader. I'm not even an anime watcher like that. The only anime that I've ever watched is Afro Samurai, and that's the greatest thing I've ever seen. I actually own those trades, but, I already know the story. So, I got them just because I love that story and I want to display them. I'll probably read them one day again. But I got One Punch Man, and it's pretty cool, yo. This book was only $9.99. It's a pretty, pretty thick book, But I'm kind of getting an understanding of why the younger generation, you guys can go back to last week's episode. I'm kind of getting an understanding of why the younger generation is reading more manga than American comics. And I hate to say this word, but this is a stupid book. It's kind of like a joke, man. I don't know if you can see this, but there's literally a character in here with a butt chin.
What?
You see the chin? It's crazy. And they don't even really give you an origin of how One Punch Man got his powers. You just see him beating up this big ass alien monster. It moves super quick. It's not like a whole lot of serious dialogue. And I hate to say that it's stupid. It's not stupid, but it's just like, all right, this is a silly book. And you could probably read this in like an hour easy. The issues aren't as, they're not as thick as an American comic. Like, it's very fast, bro. And like, this whole fight broke out because this kid with the butt chin drew some nipples on this monster that looks like a big ass giant crab. And One Punch Man, who we don't, you know, we don't really realize it's him. He's got hair and stuff. He's bald headed and we don't know it's him, but he decides that he doesn't want to work in corporate America no more. And he's just going to be a superhero. And he says he trained so hard that he lost his hair. So,
wow.
Like, it's not something that you have to take super serious. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, it's not that deep like American comics. And I can appreciate that. That's cool to me. But it's a very, like, I read two issues. It's very silly. It's kind of like, okay, you know, like we're going to fight a big ass crab in the middle of the street. Cool. So, but yeah, shout out to OG Rich. It's not a bad story. I mean, if you want to read something, I mean, it's pretty cool. It's only $9.99. So, but yeah. One Punch Man. So let's get into the breakdown, man. And let's talk about this, this topic that I was thinking about the other day when I was looking through all my comics and preparing to sell a lot of them, you know, but you know, I had like a little garage sale type of thing, nothing expensive. I'll probably be shipping out books to some of my homies as well that collect and read. You know, some stories that I think that they might be interested in, maybe some graphic novels, some trades, things like that. But I was thinking about this and, you know, I have books that I value, you know, they're high valued books to myself, like my Miles Morales collection and things like that. And I'm like, what am I going to do with those books when I'm like 75, 80 years old? Like, and it's just sitting in a short box, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have two daughters. They're not interested in comics whatsoever. I don't really know any other like younger people that are into comics like that to even pass them down to. So it's like, man, what would I do with my collection when, you know, I'm out the game? If I ever get out the game. But when I'm out the game, like, what am I going to do with these books? And it literally made me sit there and think at work one day, that's all I was thinking about. Like, what am I going to do with my books? Cause I love and appreciate my collection. You know what I'm saying? That the books that I have at this moment right now, I mean, there's probably going to be some other dope stuff that I get eventually, but I don't know, man. I'm like, do I want to donate them to a shop? Do like send them to like, you know, one of my close friends that have kids and, you know, let them have the books, like younger kids that are in the comics. I don't know, man, but I mean, I'll pass it off to K, man. Have you ever actually thought about this? Like what you would want to do, bro, with your comics?
I've had days where I've just wanted to just keep certain ones and give everything else away.
Yeah.
Like I've thought about that and I've thought about which ones I would keep. You know what I'm saying? Like I've gone as far as I think of that. I've almost went as far as dedicating a box to shit that I would actually keep. That like, you know what I mean?
Like, those gems that you have, like the Stan Lee, you know, and Jack Kirby. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, the autograph book.
Stan Lee and Kirby. But see, like those are different. Those ain't going nowhere.
Right.
Like. Obviously, like those that I got signed, those are like my heroes signed those books. Kevin Eastman, Jack Kirby, Stan Lee. Mm-hmm. You know, I've met most of my heroes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
George Perez. I was just looking in the bag the other day and I found the George Perez signatures, man. And I wanted to cry, man. Because they're still in the bag. I still have not taken them out of that bag.
Yo, you've had that bag for like 3 years.
Bro, like that bag has not gotten emptied or anything.
That's hilarious.
Since C2E2. And what year? I don't even remember the year that was.
That was before COVID.
That was right. I know it had to be like the year before.
That had to be like 2018. Right? 2018.
It was 2019.
Beginning of 2019.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah, because I went to New York Comic Con in October of 2019. So yeah, it had to be, and the world was still open over here. So yeah, it had to be 2019. Yep.
Oh yeah, that's crazy. So I haven't not emptied out that bag. So like, I don't know, bro. Like I've thought about it. I've thought about wanting to give away stuff, and then like I don't know. It just, I feel like the idea of it. I feel like I'll end up still keeping a lot.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Because I already know, like, off rip, I'm keeping my Guardians of the Galaxy books.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But then that's, like, Guardians of the Galaxy. There's, like, different Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I got the 90s team, and I got the 60s team books. And you know what I'm saying? And yeah. It's like, yo, it's still going to be, like a collection. It's still going to be a lot. Because then, am I really going to want to... Then the question of value comes in.
Right.
And it's like, yo, yeah, I know high what this value book
books,
is.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, like I know that aren't signed. And it's like, I know what this book is worth. And it's like, right. Do I keep all the first appearances? It's just like, yes. Yo, as soon as you go into it, it just gets really stressful and it causes anxiety that I think is just hella unneeded. So then you know what I realized? Just throwing them in the box and just leaving them in the attic is just a good place for right now.
Yeah.
it doesn't make me have to think about
right. No, I agree. And it's just like I wanted, like I said, like there's books here that I have. There's books in Jersey that I have. When I get all those books here, like I want to have a yard sale for the books that I know, like these are books that I'm not going to keep, that I don't really cherish or put a high value on them. And you know, and then there's books that I'm like, well, I want this book in a graphic novel, so, or this series in a graphic novel, but I know my homies, one of my homies might really enjoy this, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, cause obviously you've meet some cool people along the way of collecting comics, and then of course I got the crew here, you know, for the show. So it's like I would like to use those books to bless people, like OG Rich did for me. I don't think were we recording then? When OG Rich sent me, he sent me a bundle of books, man, of graphic novels and stuff like that. He sent me a few floppies of some really, really dope books. I can't think of them all off the top of my head, but I know like one of the trades was like the Boondocks, like graphic novel. Mm-hmm. Like, he sent me a lot of dope stuff, you know what I'm saying? And that kind of also kind of put it in my head, like there's books that I have that are just sitting around that I've read. And, you know, they're good. And I want some, like, I would love for somebody else to read that and get the same, you know, vibe that I got from them. So, like, I know that's one thing I want to do with my collection in the future. That'd be more in the immediate future. But, like, my high value books, like, there's some things that I have that's going to be worth a pretty penny in the future, you know? And I would like to put them in somebody's hands that I know is going to appreciate them and let them kind of build more value. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So whether it be my kids, I'm not sure. Maybe one day, like I didn't start reading comics until I was 26 years old. So I think it's 26. So maybe one day, maybe one of them might be like, yo, I want to read one of these books. And they might actually get, you know, get hooked. So, but you're right, bro. It does really cause anxiety. You know what I'm saying? Like this conversation and even just thinking about it reminds me of when I first started collecting comics, when I would say that I'm not going to the shop to pick up any books this week, and I would wait, and then all of a sudden I'm just like, no, I gotta go, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta go pick up those books.
I remember, like, you know what it is for me lately, man? It's just I haven't had that sense of urgency the way I did back in the day when I first started collecting. And yo, like me and Chrissy, man, we used to spend weekends going to different comic book stores. We'd find different comic book stores and make a whole day out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, yo, and I would just read stories and I'd be like, I need the next one. Like, it was like, and I remember having those, I'm not going to go to the comic book store today.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, and somehow I found myself there. I found myself, you know, like, just this one time, I'll never forget that Chrissy was like, we're not going to deal with comics this weekend. And we went to Canal Street in Manhattan, right? And we were walking, and there was a dude that had, like, a stand, and he was selling comic books.
Hella overpriced.
Hella overpriced. So I ended up not buying anything. So I ended up not buying anything because it was super overpriced. But the dude was like charging like $20 for like an Aladdin book, but like Disney Aladdin Marvel, like from 95. It's like, yo, fam, like, come on. That's a $2. That's like a 50 cent. That's like a 25 cent book.
Yep.
That's free. That's free at a flea market somewhere. Right,
that's
now.
Crazy. That's insane. That is insane.
Yeah. Yeah, it was insane. I was like, yo, you're bugging. I was like, yo, dude, like, come on. Like, I know this shit.
Right. But yeah, I used to get anxiety about not going to the shops. But now, it's different now. Like, I have really, really, like, fell back. Like, very much so.
There was a point in time, man. Remember, you know Paradox Comics, right?
That's why I bought my first comic book.
Yeah, that was my first LCS, man. Mm-hmm. That was my first LCS.
James, too. That's James' first LCS, too.
That's hell, man. That's crazy how we all fucking... That's crazy. That's ill. That's ill. Yep. That's different. That's different. See, that's why we all crew somehow, yo.
Uh-huh.
It's funny how we found our tribe. But, exactly. Yo, so... But, nah, so, like, back to what I'm saying. Like, yo, like, I used to harass this man to, like... look, like, I'd be like, yo... Like, I'd hit him up at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning and be like, yo... I see this book. Do you have this? And he'd be like, I'd have to check. Then I'd go to the store and I'd be standing there and he's like, you're going to make me go check for those books, aren't you? And I was like, I have money.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to pay.
Yeah. Like, yo, you're going to come back with it and you're going to make money. He's like, oh, I got to sing. He's like, oh, I got to sing for my supper. I remember those days and it's just like, yo, like, I don't have those days anymore. And then now when I look back on all these damn books, I'm like, yo, like, I read most of these and you know, like, I'm not reading them. It's not like I go to read them every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they were to go to somebody that was going to read them every day and cherish them and you know what I'm saying? Not fucking, you know, make confetti and make collages out of them. Yeah, sure.
Right. Oh, God. Don't even.
But I'm still going to. That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, that's why, like, yo, like. I could never, like, that's why, like, yo, like, I would have to just sell them, bro, because it would just, it like, the money would just make me feel better. At that point, they could do whatever the hell they want with it. Mm-hmm. But, man, I just can't, I could never give away, like, the signatures. Like, come on. Oh, my God. Like,
yeah. And, bro, I got signatures from writers that I don't even know, like, I enjoyed those writers and I enjoyed talking to them, but I used to go to the conventions and just go signature crazy. I'm not somebody that sends books to CGC or wants to get them graded and all that stuff. Like, I have like probably 2 short boxes full of just random signatures of books. You know what I'm saying? But
I mean, yo, that's the other part too. Like, I got like signatures of like underground people too and shit. Like, yo, I dug really deep. I went deep into my nerd shit with that stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, bro, there's books that if I give it away, like, it's non-existent. Like, I have books that you're not gonna find in every comic book store. You may go to 10 and not find it in neither one of them.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So there's shit like that you think about too. Like,
yep. Yep, it's gonna be a very important transaction when that day comes on who's gonna be getting the collection that I valued over the years and the collection that you valued over the years. Hopefully it goes into the hands of somebody that really cares.
It's like that Jack Kirby and Stan Lee book, and you know before Stan Lee died, someone made an offer to me. Yeah. They were like, I'll give you $5,000 for it.
Right. But the story behind that, bro, is just priceless. Bro.
Yeah, and that's what it was. I was like, damn, yo, $5,000. They were like, but it has they were like on some like, yo, it has to be verified. They're like, yo, Stan Lee's verified. But they're like, that Jack Kirby looks, they looked at it and they were like, it's too real. It looks real. Yeah. And they're like, ah. But they offered me $5,000 for it, and I was like, yeah, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, but just think, that $5,000 probably would have been long gone by now.
Yeah, you know 100%. Like, it would have been 100%. Long gone by now,
and your book would have been gone, and that story behind it, like...
Not even, that story just goes away with it. Like, I think that's the only reason... like, bro, this came points in time where I've thought about selling it. Cause you know what I'm saying? I needed some bread, and I could never bring myself to do it. It's just like, it's like, yo, I'm infamous for that story.
And I mean, that's like me with the Brian Michael Bendis story, signing my first appearance of Miles. Like, I chased him down in the convention hall. Like, you know, like, it's just things that we, you know, we did to get this collection to where we got it. But the last thing I'll mention before we get out of here, when it comes time for us to figure out what we want to do with this collection, this just hit my brain, bro. Physical books may not be a thing
anymore, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, physical books may not be a thing. It may be graphic novels, maybe, but like,
I'm sure graphic novels. Sure they're gonna go. It's coming. I know it's coming, man.
Yeah,
because if you, I've looked at this. I've looked at numbers. Like, for a book to be considered successful, they're only selling 20,000 books.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if you think about that, that is not a lot of money.
Nope.
That is like, so like.
It costs damn near the same amount to make the book.
Exactly. 100%.
To print them.
100%. So think about it. There's nobody that's selling a million copies of books anymore. They're not doing those old Rob Liefeld,
right, Todd McFarlane, say, this Spawn, isn't, this Youngblood the numbers. This ain't the beginning of the Image no more.
Yeah, where they sell 400,000 books and you know that you know they get, you know, whatever for it, but nah, man, it's sad, man. I know they're gonna go away with it. There's gonna be somebody that's gonna go away with it, and they're just gonna keep it to strictly not graphic novels.
Yeah, and then that puts more value on the books that we have. You know what I'm saying? That
that too, and that makes it hard, you know, because there's shit that they're not.
It's not going to exist in a lot of places.
Like, yeah. Just think about it like this. That's going to bring up, think about it, like a book like NFL Super Pro. Mind you, nobody values that book and everybody hates that book. But you know me, I fucking love the shit out of that book.
Yep.
That's one of those things that I would keep. That is legitimately one of those things that I would keep. And the fact that I got that shit signed, like, come on. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And there's to a point, yo, that at a comic convention, bro, somebody came to the convention and gifted me that. And they were like, they're mint. And they gave me two of them. And they're like, yo, they're mint.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude was like, yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do, man. We didn't really come up with an answer.
that's a hard
answer. And it's a conversation that every comic book collector that probably has with themselves at least once a year.
Bro, I think about it. Like, I got first appearances of like almost like a bunch of people. Like, it's like, do I just keep those? And then it's like, what? Am I just a first appearance whore?
Right.
And then it's like,
even with that, like, I have covers by artists that are like goats. You know what I'm saying? Like, not a lot of people have some of those covers that I have. I used to do a lot of cover buys, and I got some really fire covers, man, and some of them are signed. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm sure we'll be talking about this a year from now again.
Bro, because then I think about it too. Like, bro, am I going to give away Copra?
No. Oh, nah, you can't do that.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Some of those floppies are one of 100.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? Like that's the problem. Like that's when the anxiety comes in. There is no answer to that question, man.
None whatsoever, man. Hopefully, you guys. Hopefully, we didn't give you guys any anxiety listening to this conversation. But
somebody clutching their pearls right now, listening to this.
Well, listen. We'll ease your pain next week.
That should be the name of the episode. Clutching the pearls.
Got it. We're writing it down right now. But listen, if we did give you anxiety and you did clutch your pearls, come back next Saturday. Me and JT will talk about some of the books that we read this month, you know, some of the new comics that came out this month that we enjoyed. And, you know, so you can get kind of a fun discussion and a review of September's books, man. So make sure you guys tune into that. Also, The second episode for the Patreon is out. I put it out on Friday. A Black Nerd Speaketh. And I talked about whether or not if I have enough black heroes. And it's not really about the comic book characters. I'll just say that it goes a little deeper for me when it comes to talking about black heroes in a creative space. So yeah, definitely check that out. It's only like 15 minutes long. And like I said, the Patreon is only $4 a month. You get 4 episodes, $1 an episode, man. So go check that out. And yeah, Kay is off next week. We got JT next Saturday. And he's the only Saturday episode, guys. There's no other Saturday episodes. Everything will be on Monday or Friday. And then, you know, Isaac will be back in and we'll be doing our previews and everything like that. But man, listen, Kay, as always, man, I enjoy having these discussions. I needed this. Now yeah, I can go and get on my wife's nerves. Now you're going to have me.
Yeah, man. Now you're gonna have me thinking about this, man, all night. Now I'm gonna be thinking, man, what should I do with these things, man? Because it came to me recently, man, and it's dope that you thought about this question, man. It's gonna suck, bro, not actually doing an episode next week. Now that I think about it, because you know, I actually look forward to these things, man. Probably just gonna have to just call you and just bother you.
Yeah, that's fine. You can do that. That's no problem, man. You know, we can FaceTime for sure. You know, we can have our own Discord, you know, off the books.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
For sure. You know, that ain't nothing.
Yeah. Oh,